Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where as always, we're here together working on improving our financial IQ. Sometimes working on your financial IQ requires you to look at other parts of a balanced life. And we're going to do that today because after I talked about some techniques for correct property management yesterday, I got quite a few emails from people with multiple units. Some of them were just starting out, but quite a few of them had 3, 4, 5, 6. And I could tell that they were having trouble managing their properties. And without beating anybody up, none of them had taken a course on property management. And it's like, I don't know what people are thinking that you go out there and you buy, you know, a $200,000 asset and you don't spend $500 to take a course to make sure you manage it correctly. I don't know where that type of thinking comes from. Is it, you know, it falls back on the lag, lazy, arrogant, greedy. You know, you're too lazy to take a course. You're too arrogant to think you need one. You're too greedy to pay for it. Those are the three life destroyers: laziness, arrogance, and greed. They destroy your life. And we're going to talk about dealing with people today, based off of Stephen Covey's work and the five love languages, because property management is about, as corny as it sounds, it's about love. It's about caring about your tenant, taking care of your tenant. Now, this is, of course, after they move in. Before they move in, you want to beat the daylights out of them. The exact opposite of what everybody else does. People who are not educated in how to manage property, they're real sweet up front because they think they've got to be able to sell the lease and get somebody to lease from them, so they candy coat their comments and they're super sweet. And that's the exact opposite of what you do. You want to almost be a jerk when you're leasing. Part of the reason is you're trying to scare off the bad tenants. And you say, well, I might scare off a good tenant. No, you won't. Because I'm not talking about actually being a jerk. I said almost a jerk. It's a level of professionalism, matter-of-factness, straightforwardness. It's after they move in that you become. The way that I teach it is you want to be a bear up front, just angry, almost an ass bear. Once they move in, though, it's all about tenant retention, keeping the tenant as long as possible. That's when you become the little bunny rabbit. But most people do the opposite. When they're leasing a unit, they're a little bunny rabbit, all sweet, trying to convince the person that they're going to be a good landlord, and they think that being sweet and nice is going to get the right tenant. No, you're opening yourself up to get the wrong tenant. You got to be a bear up front. But again, once they move in, then you become the bunny rabbit because you're trying to keep them there. And most people are bunny rabbit first, then when the people move in, they become a bear when they have a small problem, an AC goes out or something like that, and they turn into a bear. It's like, that's not how you keep tenants. The principle, I think, is best defined by Stephen Covey in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's a thing called the emotional bank account. The emotional bank account. We all have one in every relationship that we're in. And we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to combine it with the five love languages because it is all about love. It's all about taking care of your tenant, loving your tenant, helping them, doing the best that you can to provide them with a safe, secure, clean, functional place to live, something that they probably couldn't afford on their own. But that's, again, after they move in. So when I get a series of emails of people who are having difficulty managing their properties, it's almost always because they were the bunny up front and the bear once they moved in. You could possibly be bunny up front and bunny after they move in, but you run the risk of not scaring off bad tenants. See, bad tenants don't want to deal with someone who's very matter of fact. Someone who can say, yeah, I love you, you're awesome, rent is due on the first, late on the second, and I'm going to evict you on the third. Do you understand that clearly? Great. Do me a favor, initial here that you understand that. Bad tenants don't like that. And they're going to back out of that meeting and not lease that property. But if you are super sweet and you're like, oh, I'll give you a few extra days, don't worry about it. If you're, just call me if you're going to be late with the rent. All this bunny rabbit garbage up front, you're going to get slaughtered. And that's what was happening to these people. Bear up front, bunny rabbit when they move in. And what you're doing, once you've made a decision to lease someone, to someone, and you've got the lease signed, you've collected the first month's rent and the security deposit full, and it's cash in your bank, at that point is where you switch from bear to bunny rabbit. And your goal is to make emotional bank account deposits whenever possible. And you want to make as many as you can, because there's going to be times when you will need to make a withdrawal from that emotional bank account. A withdrawal is when you have to enforce a rule that they're breaking. A withdrawal is when you have to enforce the fact that the first $250 of any repair is the responsibility of the tenant. A withdrawal is when they don't pay on time, and you send your eviction notice on the third, the fourth. I generally do it on the fourth. That's a withdrawal. But if you've made enough emotional bank account deposits, you're not going to lose your tenant, and they're going to end up showing up with the money. We'll talk about some emotional bank account deposits as they relate to both interpersonal relationships, employees, and tenants. This is the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
Were you told that it's normal to lose money in a down market? That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. I do want to talk about the fact that what I'm about to share with you works in your romantic relationship as well. A lot of people try to separate business from, you know, family And they are separate things. But the way that you deal with people is really identical if you're going to be highly effective, highly successful at it. It is common knowledge that conflicts are a result of low emotional bank account balances. And when you're dealing with an individual, whether it's a tenant, a coworker, a employee, your boss, your lover, you've really got to focus on making as many deposits as possible, because there always comes a time when you got to make a withdrawal. You know, a little fight, a little argument. Maybe you got an employee that does something bad and you've got to reprimand them. In 30 years, I've only fired two people, and I've had, I'm sure, over 100 employees over the 30 years. I've never lost an employee except those two times. One was because a guy literally just had a really bad day, lost his mind, almost kicked a hole in the wall. You know, it was really a bad situation, and that was why I let him go. Another guy was just flat out unhappy, and I had a long discussion with him, and I said, you know, I'm going to do you a favor and fire you, and I want you to go find a job you love, because you're not happy here. This isn't your passion. Teaching was not his passion. And that worked out great. We're still friends. Great guy. Hated losing him because he was such a good guy. It's just that teaching was not his thing. So the reason I believe that I've had a track record like that is that I understood the emotional bank account point. I think it's Zig Ziglar brings it up. Be a good finder. I believe it is, doggone it, I can't think of his name. But he brings up the point, catch people doing something right. Most people are constantly looking for the bad. You're in business, so you're looking for things that are wrong, that need to be corrected at all times. You got to do it. That's how you make your business grow. That's how Kaizen, constant improvement, Kaizen, or however you say it. So you see why managers, bosses, parents, in those positions, in those roles, we're constantly looking for things that are wrong and correcting them. The problem is that for most people, that's all they do. They're constantly finding what's wrong. And they're not catching their kids doing the right thing. They're not catching their spouse doing the right thing. They're not catching their employees doing the right thing and bringing it up. It is so important to make those emotional bank account deposits where you catch somebody taking care of one of your clients, you pull your employee aside and go, wow, that's what it's all about. You are amazing. That's a huge deposit. And you catch them doing 10 things right, then you catch them doing one thing wrong, and you reprimand them and bring it to their attention, it works, because you made 10 deposits and one withdrawal. But most managers that I know, I know this lady, she's at another company, she's gone through 30 or 40 employees in a matter of 4 or 5 years. Because she can't hire and she can't train. So she's incompetent and just fires people. It's unbelievable how many people she's fired. And you're just like, such a lack of understanding. See, whenever I have a problem with an employee, it's almost always my fault. Except for those two times. It's my fault. I didn't train them properly. I didn't give them a clear understanding of their roles and goals. I didn't support them properly, give them the tools they need to succeed. It was freaking my fault. But one thing I've always been able to do is go back in there and correct it. You want to know a huge, huge emotional bank account deposit? Say you're sorry and mean it. Go to that employee, go to that child, go to your spouse, and go, man, I really goofed up. I am so sorry for that. Let's take an employee. I had a situation where a guy wasn't showing up. I went to him and apologized. I said, obviously, I have not done a good job of letting you understand, of making you understand how important you are to this team. And for that, I apologize. Here are the 10, 15, 20 things that you do that I love. And I want you here because you do these things so well. And then I went and trained them on those 8, 10 points till they got the feeling and understood how important it was for them to be there. Never had a problem with that person again. I almost think that an honest apology is the biggest single deposit that you can make to someone who is having a bad behavior and it's a result of a lack of your communication. You know, like me not expressing how important this person was to the company. So let's look at Stephen Covey's 6 deposits and how you can use them really with your tenants, with your spouse, with your kids, with your employees. The first one is, it's huge. It's understanding the individual. This means listening intently to what the other person is saying and empathizing, not sympathizing, empathizing with how they may feel. It's important to care for others and act with kindness towards them, really at all times. And when I say listening, I mean listening, not preparing what you're going to say next, listening to truly understand the individual. And by the way, am I on the radio telling you that I'm great at all this? Absolutely not. I fall down on every one of these 6 we're about to go over multiple times. It's like yesterday, the show on leasing that I did, I was making fun of delusional people. You know why I'm so good at picking out delusional people? Because I are one. There's not one thing that I made fun of on yesterday's show that I haven't done myself. So, do you have to be perfect at this? No. But if you'll start using these techniques, these strategies, it's going to change your life with your kids, your spouse, your employees, and your tenants. So first, understand the individual. Listen deeply with an intent to truly understand how the other person feels. Then repeat what they said to you back to them, so that they know that you understand them. And you know what they'll do for you? They'll listen to you. It's really one of the most powerful tools of the six. I still think the apology is the unbelievably strong. Number two, keep commitments. When you make a promise to someone, keep that commitment. If you make a promise to someone and break it, that is a massive emotional bank account withdrawal. Telling your kids you're going to be at their soccer game and not being there, boom, you just hammered them right in the face. All right, we'll talk more after the break here on the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
Planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're talking about communication, emotional bank account deposits, how to avoid problems with spouses, kids, employees, bosses, tenants. And the whole concept comes down to making more emotional bank account deposits than you do withdrawals. You know, yesterday I told you that you never ever lease to a friend. Then I went, by the way, I did it once. But I had so many emotional bank account deposits with this guy that when I told him, look, bro, rent is due on the first, late on the second, I will evict you on the fourth. Love you. We'll always love you and care about you. We'll always be friends. But man, I got a mortgage payment. You got to pay your rent or I can't pay my mortgage. That destroys my credit. I lose the house. You've got to pay your rent. Do you understand that I'm going to evict you if you don't pay the rent? If you're okay with that, you can move in my house. How did I get away with that? Because I had made 200 deposits and then that withdrawal, which was minimal, I think, the way that I phrased it. But if I hadn't made all those emotional bank account deposits, that could have been no, I don't even want a lease from you. We're not even friends anymore, you know? Could have turned really bad. So let's review real quick. The number one emotional bank account deposit is understanding the individual. Listening intently to understand their position, then repeating it back to them, confirming that you understand their provision before you start talking. Number two, keeping commitments. When you promise something, you better do it. Because see, you got the instantaneous gratification of saying, yeah, honey, I'll be at the soccer game. Yeah, sweetie, I wouldn't miss it for the world. They got joyful. You got joyful. You got that instantaneous gratification from it, but then you didn't show. That is a huge withdrawal. Huge. That's not going to take one emotional bank account deposit. It's probably going to take five or six to make up for that one. Number three, which I mentioned, this one really, employees, clarify your expectations. Understand that people are not mind readers. They're not mind readers. Communicating your expectations can help create a higher level of trust. When you ask for what you want, you get it. When that happens, you trust them more, they trust you more. You've got to have very clearly laid out job descriptions, very clearly laid out expectations for the results of the job. And I know sometimes you can't. I'm in a situation where I'm working with a brilliant social media person, but I don't know what the expectation should be for social media and sales in our type of business. So we're experimenting together to figure out what the expectation should be. So there are times when you've got to fumble a little, but you make other deposits until you can clarify those expectations. The fourth one is attending to the little things. Have you noticed that little things tend to become the big things when they don't receive our attention? Doing the little things is how we honor and show respect for others. Small kindnesses, a smile, a little extra effort, a hug, doing something you didn't have to. This is a huge, those little things are a huge deposit. Let me try to think of an example of something very small. Oh, I know. There was somebody, I don't know if I can tell this story. Let me think of another one. It's a situation where, I'll tell you, somebody did something for me. I'm sitting there in my office, and I have this little script that I read every day about, it's Ogmandino's scroll number 2 about I will greet this day with love in my heart. And what it does is it just reminds me, it's only 2 pages long, but I try to read it every day. It reminds me how important love is and to stay focused on loving my members, my students, my clients, my employees, my kids, my spouse, and how that's the priority. It's really, really good. Ogmandino comes from the book The Greatest Salesperson in the World, and it's scroll number 2. But anyway, she came in. She goes, you want me to laminate that for you? I said, yeah. So she laminated it for me. Just a little thing. But it made me feel like $1 million. There are things like that you can do for people. You don't think it's a big deal. They do. They do. The fifth emotional bank account deposit, which really I'm going to back out of what I said earlier that apologizing is the biggest. This one's going to have to be the biggest. It's personal integrity. Personal integrity is the biggest of these six. Integrity is the moral floor upon which trusting relationships are built. When we operate with sound moral character, it makes it so easy for others to trust us. So doing exactly what you say you're going to do, when you said you were going to do it, is so important. So there's 6 emotional bank account deposits. Now, let's talk about the love languages, the 5 love languages. And the interesting thing about this, while this book, The 5 Love Languages, was written about the sexual partners, married couples, or significant others, it applies to employees, to your kids, to your boss, to everybody. And it was funny when I discovered this, I was using it just on my wife. When it just dawned on me, I was like, wait a minute, this works on everybody. And the 5 love languages are basically what gets a person, what truly touches a certain person. Some people, all 5 of these are important. I'm lucky that my wife responds to all five of them. Some people lean heavily towards one of them or two of them. In the beginning, a new employee, a new lover, I think it's advisable to experiment with all five until you find out which one that person really desires. And they are, let me read them real quick and then we'll go through them. They're words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Hey, you did a great job. I love you. You're the best. Catch them doing something right. There's the physical touch. Pat on the shoulder, making love, a back rub, physical touch, receiving gifts. And this one you would think everybody would like, right? Receiving gifts, money, jewelry, cars, houses, whatever. It's like everybody likes that. Mm-mm-mm. There are some people, take a child who was raised by a very wealthy parent that thought that money replaced love and time. They got everything in the world. Toys, cars, trips. Do you know what receiving gifts means to them? Nothing. In fact, it can tick them off to where they think you're just as bad as their dad was. So be cautious with the gifting. That's not everybody's. It doesn't apply to everybody. Quality time is another love language. Spending time with an employee, with your spouse, with your kids, over extended periods, that's a huge deposit for some people. And then acts of service, making dinner, doing the dishes. You know, there's all kinds of things that are acts of service. With an employee, you might see an employee that's overwhelmed. Maybe they've got to make 40 phone calls in 1 hour. And you go, look, give me 20 of those. And boom, you go take care of 20. They take care of 20. They know it's still their responsibility, but you helped them out. Acts of service. Huge emotional bank account deposit. All right, we'll talk more after the break here on the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and we are in the final segment of today's show. So I'm going to try to talk quickly and go through these love languages. Again, these are emotional bank account deposits. If you have not read this book, it is a fantastic book for your love relationship. But if you're like me, you're eventually going to realize, man, this stuff works on everybody. And it's important to know these five so that you can watch and see, hey, this person likes for me to chat with them for 10 minutes. I know, and I'm not a chatter. I don't like that. It's hard for me to do, but I know I've got certain people that they come in my office. I'm going to let them chat for 10 or 15 minutes. No problem, because that's their love language. They feel heard. They feel important. They feel good. And what's it cost me? 15 minutes to make that deposit? So let's deal with words of affirmation. And this is the one I started on earlier. Catch your people, your spouse, your kids, your employees doing something right instead of always catching them doing something wrong. You still have to catch them doing the wrong things and offer them advice or correction or whatever. But you want to have caught them doing multiple good things so you have 8 or 9, 10 deposits before you have to make that one withdrawal where they did something wrong. An unexpected note, a text or a card or an email is a great way to send words of affirmation. I don't think that's as good as just direct eye-to-eye contact, but sometimes it's important to email them or text them so that you don't forget it. Meaning you're at home, you're sitting there and you go, "Ooh, so-and-so did this today and it was awesome and I forgot to thank them." Don't wait till the next time you see them. Email, text, right then. Get it done. So, things to avoid with people who love words of affirmation are not recognizing or appreciating their efforts. They want to be recognized. They want to feel like they're important and understand that they are important is a better way to say that. The next is the physical touch. This is nonverbal use of body language and a touch to show love in your love relationship. This can be making love, hugs, kisses. At work, it may be a pat on the shoulder and sometimes a hug. You know, it just depends. Be very cautious with that, though, obviously. Things to avoid are physical neglect or abuse with a person like this. That really goes without saying. But if you've got someone who does require that pat on the back, make sure you're giving it to them. Receiving gifts. This is the one that you think everybody likes, but not everybody does. So don't automatically assume that giving out bonuses or vacations or things like that are going to really touch certain people. There's certain people that don't like that. You know, they may have been abused financially when they were kids, meaning their parents raised them buying them every toy on earth and never spending any time with them, never touching them, no acts of service, no words of affirmation, just gifts, 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 gifts. So they have no respect for that whatsoever. But I think the majority of people do like the acknowledgement of a gift, which could be the president of the company, Charlie Varghese, is very good at giving people a day off once in a while, which is a tremendous gift in the eyes of most people. Taking the whole team out to lunch is a tremendous gift to a lot of people. And then I'm talking to the people receiving the gift. This can sometimes be difficult because you feel guilty and you say things like, "Oh, you don't have to do that." Listen, receive gifts graciously, because giving is a joy in itself. And if you don't accept a person's gift, you have taken the joy of them giving you the gift away from them. Don't feel guilty about accepting gifts in most circumstances. Accept the gift graciously. Next is quality time. Quality time is uninterrupted and focused conversations. One-on-one time is important. Again, with the lover, your kids, your employees, and occasionally the tenant. Create special moments, take walks, do small things with your partner, with your kids, with your employees that are just quality time together. No expectations, just quality time together. And then the fifth love language is acts of service. And this one I've talked about many times, where men have a tendency, boy, I'm picking on men bad. I'm sure women do this too, but I'm going to pick on me, men. Come home from work, watch their wife cook dinner, watch their wife do the dishes, and then expect them to get sexy. It's like, wait a second. She worked all day with the kids, and I'm telling you, working all day with the kids is just as intense as working all day with your employees. Every day, all day long at work, you're stressing. You want everybody to do well. You want them to excel. You want the company to excel. So you're working on all eight cylinders. Do you think that someone at home raising kids isn't doing the exact same thing? Running on all eight cylinders because they love their children so much and they want to do the right things and they walk on pins and needles all day hoping that they're doing and saying the right things. It is just as intense. Then they have to cook dinner, then they do the dishes, and then you want to get romantic. It's like they've never had a chance to regroup. Men, or whoever the working partner is, could be the reverse. The man might be at home raising the kids. Whoever it is, do the freaking dishes. Cook dinner two or three nights a week. Get that off their back so that they can regroup and maybe feel sexy. Because if you beat the daylights out of them all day long, managing kids, managing the dinner, managing the dishes, but your romance is going to be zilch. I can guarantee it. So acts of service are extremely important. This one, I think, is probably the strongest of the five as a rule, because acts of service falls into the category of who you are speaks so loudly that they can't hear what you say. So you could run your mouth with words of affirmation till you're blue in the face and it not mean to that person as much as you going, sweetheart, sit down, I'm cooking dinner tonight and I'm going to do the dishes. Does that make sense? Acts of service. One of the things that I'm relatively good at is identifying little products that we could buy that would make one of my employees' jobs easier. Sometimes it's software, sometimes it's a better chair, a better computer. Man, when you do that for an employee, man, that's a huge, I've noted that it's a huge emotional bank account deposit that I can really count on. So there they are. The book is The Five Love Languages, and the other book is The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, if you want to study this more. But keep that concept in mind. Any relationship you're having trouble with, kids, spouse, employees, tenants, go back. See if you haven't made more withdrawals than you have made deposits. And I bet you're going to find out that that's true. All right, this has been the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Thank you so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.